Last year alone, Christian publishers released 1,482,889 books about prayer. Perhaps that statistic shocks you, and it should, because I actually just made it up. But the point is that people talk about prayer a lot, and not just in Christian circles. In fact, 3 out of 4 Americans say they pray regularly, and I didn't make that one up. Everybody seems to talk about it. Every religious person believes in it, and even many non-religious ones. Prayer is a big deal. It changes the world. There is power in prayer. It's also a big guilt trip for me because I'm terrible at it. It's embarrassing. I'm in my 40s, and I always thought that I would be good at this now. Now, I actually didn't write that. This was from an author starting a chapter on prayer, and it stuck out to me. He continues, he says, "Guilt about praying doesn't help me pray. Freedom helps me pray. Believing God isn't incensed at me helps me pray. The point is that my relationship with God is actually a relationship with God. I'm struck too," he writes, he says, I'm struck by what a relationship with God can look like. Again, the version of God that I operate with in my mind, thanks to my upbringing or my own lack of imagination, doesn't jibe with the actual God of the Bible, who is far more interesting. In my mind's eye, God is all-knowing, unapproachable, distinctly unhuman, and operates according to strict logic. I can't even fathom why he would want me to talk to him, let alone ask him for something he already knows that I want or need. But this isn't the God of the Bible at all. This God, Yahweh, is shocking. He doesn't just allow us to talk to him. He wants conversation. Again, these comments on a chapter on prayer that really struck me. Our problem is that we have trouble viewing the one true God in a right way so that we would be drawn to praying to him, to have this relationship with him, because we can have this gut-level guilty feeling that we're not doing enough, that we could never be enough. But he wants to hear from us. He cares deeply about you and the stuff that you are facing in your life. And so we can come to him in relationship and confidently pray to him because he asks us to. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. He hears our prayers. He wants to hear from us. So as we look at prayer together, we're going to spend our time in Philippians chapter 4, looking forward to getting into God's word with you. And we'll also look at some other verses along the way. Now, the focus of our time is going to be prayer from God. That is primarily thinking about the prayers where we pray and asking God for things. There are prayer requests that we have of God. And I would think that probably when we think of prayer, and certainly in our world, that this is mostly what we're thinking about as we pray. It's asking God for things. And he does invite us to ask him because he cares for us so much. So if you have your Bible, turn to Philippians 4. We're going to start at verse 4. And let's see what Paul has to say. It will be on the screen as well, but you're welcome to open your own Bible as well. Philippians 4, starting at verse 4. This is the word of the Lord. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, Whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So last week, as we began this short series on prayer, we were focusing on praying to God. Prayers directed to God, and certainly we pray to God, but the first one of those ones was adoration. So praising God for who he is. Again, we're not asking things, we're saying, God, you are very great. You are so worthy of all of the praise that I can give you. Adoration. Then confession is another one. We would admit to our sin. We're saying, God, I know I messed up here. You already know. I'm agreeing with you that this was wrong, and I am confessing this to you. And the promise is that when we confess, God is faithful to forgive us. Another one as we pray to God is thanksgiving. This is praising and thanking God for what he has done. And so these are prayers that we pray to God. And the one that we're looking at today, there's a helpful acronym. So the acronym ACTS can help us. And this last one to fill the letter S is supplication. And that's what we're focusing on today. Supplication is simply a petition. It's a request. It's asking God. So prayers from God, that's what we're focusing on today. And so if this acronym, ACTS, which I learned many years ago, is helpful for you, that it can be a model for how to pray. And so if you're kind of stuck on prayer, you can think, oh yeah, the word ACTS, I can use that to help me as I pray. And in fact, one of the most meaningful times of prayer that I've experienced took place from 2 to 3 in the morning, that's a.m. And what happened was several years ago, this was at Fall Blitz, which is happening next week, but this was several years ago at Camp ABK. It was the youth retreat, and being a cabin leader in the cabin with the guys, but the speaker for that weekend focused on prayer. And so I can't remember if it was Friday night or Saturday night, but each cabin was asked to take 1 hour of prayer from like midnight till maybe 7 in the morning. And so that whole night, it would be bathed in prayer, or what does that word even mean? We would just be praying through the night together. And so at 2 a.m., it was just such a great memory to have. I use this acronym with my other cabin leader, and we would read a psalm that related to one of these parts, and then we would take the time to pray around the cabin. And yes, we did have to wake up some of the guys each time as we prayed. But this pattern can be helpful if you're not sure how to go about praying, or if you're awake at 2 a.m., you could use this too. Now, the first thing that I want us to notice from Philippians 4, as we consider prayer, is this. The Lord is with you. Or you can say more practically, the Lord is here and he's with you. And so we have this phrase at the end of verse 5. It says this, the Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near, or your Bible may say, the Lord is coming soon. And then also we have these words at the end of verse 9. It says, the God of peace will be with you. So the Lord is with you. And so we have these two truths that, yes, Jesus is coming back again. All wrongs will be made right. Jesus will set up his kingdom forever as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And so we trust him. We trust in our returning king. But we are also filled with wonder at the truth that he's present now. He's here. It's not just future. He is with us. And so we have these promises in the Bible that God has given us. Matthew 28, Jesus, right before he would leave the earth to go back to his Father, he said this to his friends. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13, the writer there gave some final instructions to his readers, and I know this promise is precious to many of you. The writer said, about God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? Psalm 145, verse 18, the psalmist wrote, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And then I was reminded of this verse from Galatians 2:20. This is what it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." We have this promise that God is with us by his Spirit. Jesus is in us, and we can be confident of that truth. Now, again, at Camp ABK, this was family camp several years ago, and there was a video series on the topic of prayer. This was done by Louis Giglio. It was called Prayer Remix, and what he set out to do was to help us shift our thinking about prayer from kind of repeating phrases that maybe we've grown up in or we've heard so many times over the years, but perhaps they don't really line up with what the Bible teaches. But instead, that shift, that remix to pray meaningfully. And so these were some of the things that he shared. And if you type prayer remix Louis Giglio, you can watch just an encouraging message as he talks about this. Let me just share these with us. So instead of saying bless us, which we say, we pray, Lord, please bless us. And the truth is, though, that we are blessed as Christians. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So a better prayer would be to say, God, thank you that we are blessed. We want to bless your name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Another one, be with us. We're talking about the Lord is with us. If we pray, Lord, be with us today, we do that, right? But instead, the truth is God is with us. Why would we pray that, knowing that he is with us? But instead, we could say, thank you that you are here. And Lord, would you please live through us, live through me today. Another one here, watch over and protect us. We pray this. We pray this for our kids as they go away, wherever they are. But the truth is that safety isn't the primary concern that we have. Sometimes we risk. Sometimes we have to go out there. It's not going to be safe. But instead, we can pray, Lord, we commit our way to you. Would you empower and use us today? And then lastly, he shared, please forgive me. Now, when we talk about forgiveness, the truth is that we are forgiven in Christ. There's a verse in Colossians that says, he forgave us all our sins. But what do we do? Instead, we say, I confess my sin to you. Thank you for the forgiveness that I already have in Jesus Christ. And yes, we are to confess. So anyway, just a little something that Louis shared, and I thought I would pass it on to you as we think about praying and that prayer from God. As we ask him, let's try to be meaningful from this. Now, like I mentioned, we did this at family camp, and when it was time to choose people to pray in the dining hall, people were a little bit reluctant, as you can tell, to pray because they were afraid, well, people are going to really think about what I say, which may be the case anyway. But when we gather to pray, you don't need to be the prayer police and tell people what they said. But rather, when we pray, let's remind ourselves that the Lord is present. He is with us. And when we pray with others, so whether we're by ourselves or we're praying with others, let's be reminded that the Lord is there. And then, the beginning of verse 6 from Philippians 4, it prompts us to not be anxious about anything. We don't need to worry. Instead, we can pray and we can be confident that, secondly, the Lord hears you. So the Lord is with you and the Lord hears you. Again, verse 6, do not be anxious or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, again, that word supplication is requesting of God things, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And so there is a contrast here. Instead of worrying, pray. And this teaching that Paul gives us here in Philippians is not new for Paul, but it's actually the words of Jesus himself, who is the master teacher that gave his famous message to his friends on a mountain. So listen to these words from Matthew 6. This is Jesus speaking. He said to his friends, "When you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, those who don't know God, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. And so pray like this, Our Father in heaven." So we hear Jesus teaching on prayer here. He's saying, don't pray to impress other people. Don't merely repeat empty phrases without meaning, but pray from your heart. But these instructions on prayer that Jesus gives here, they're also with this, are coupled with this encouragement not to worry. And so further down in Matthew 6, starting at verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" And again, Jesus reassuringly says, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And so a key phrase that Jesus says in his teaching here is, when you pray. It's assumed as his children that we would be praying. And as we pray, there's a humble trust in a faithful God, and we offer these prayer requests. They're given in an attitude of thanksgiving and knowing that this provides for us a remedy for our tendency to worry. If you're like me, I know we're a worrying people, but we can pray. Now, the Lord hears us, we're talking about. And one of the first prayers that we need to pray is a prayer of salvation. This is to be saved by God who made us. We're not saved when we're born. We need to put our trust in him. May the Lord open eyes and hearts to receive him, because the truth is that all of us were born sinners. We were born in a state of rebellion against a perfect God. And so to have this relationship, to be having freedom, to be in conversation with God, it starts with a humble admission saying, I am a sinner. And I believe that Jesus Christ took the penalty of my sin, which is death, on the cross. When he died on the cross, he took my place. And when I believe in him, then I can have a relationship with God. And he changes my heart to want the things that he wants, to love the way that he loves, and to serve him with my life. We don't get saved. We don't come into this relationship with God by doing good. There's not enough good things that we could ever do to bridge that gap between us and God. But we can turn to God in repentance and trust, believing in Jesus Christ to save us in this life and forevermore. And so the prayer of salvation, that's a prayer, a request from God to save. And that can be a moment of new beginnings, a moment of a fresh start with God. Now, last week it was mentioned that there was an article from Focus on the Family that outlined a few different types of prayer from the Bible. And so as we think about prayer from God, here are a few types of prayer that we can think about. So the first one being petition, or this word supplication. Again, this is what most people would think of when they think of prayer. It's requesting specific things from God, whether it's for yourself or for others. But God, he does want to hear from us. And so we can have these prayers of petition or supplication. Another type of prayer similar to petition would be deliverance. And so this is a request made to God to save us from a challenging or difficult circumstance. These kinds of prayers acknowledge that we can do nothing apart from God. This is where the humility comes in, a prayer of deliverance, trusting that he has the power to save. Jesus himself prayed a prayer of deliverance to his Father. Let me read these words from Luke 22, just before Jesus would go to the cross. He said, Jesus came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples, his friends, they followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and he prayed to his Father. He said this, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And so we have this prayer of deliverance that even Jesus prayed himself, but committing himself into the hands of his Father. Another prayer that we can pray from God would be guidance, asking God for wisdom. These conversations with God allow us to acknowledge that God is in control. We use the word sovereign. We can trust him because he's in control. James 1:5 tells us that if you need wisdom, if you need guidance, ask God. He is a generous God, and he will give that wisdom to you. And there are other types of prayer in which we request things of God. One of the times that I prayed for something specifically on a daily basis for a lengthy period of time was for a friend of mine in North Bay. And this was almost 20 years ago. And through his own choices, he ended up getting into trouble with the law. The life that he knew came crashing down. But it was in those painful moments that the Lord reminded him this. And he said this. He said, "That was not the day that he fell. It was the day that God reached down and caught him from falling any further." And so I prayed for my friend, for the truth to be revealed about the circumstances. I prayed that his faith would be strong through this, that it would continue. I prayed for his marriage and for his family, that they would be restored. And later he said this. He said, "God has done some amazing things in my life over the past several years. My walk with him is stronger than ever before. I read more, I listen more, I pray more." And I can say, thank God that he is still married. He's still serving the Lord despite the consequences of his sin. And so the Lord hears us when we pray. And then we can also trust that the Lord will help. The Lord helps you. When we pray, the Lord helps. God answers prayer. Amen to that? Verse 7 from Philippians 4. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And so when we pray, when we tell him the things that we need, with thankfulness, with humility, then we can trust that he hears us and he will help us, that he will answer. And one of the primary ways that God helps us is to provide peace in the midst of the chaos or whatever storm you have gone through or are going through. This is a peace that we can't understand, a peace that will help to sustain us through the midst of that circumstance. I've always thought, I've heard somebody say this years ago, that, you know, we can think of that still, beautiful sunset, and that's peace with God. But rather, it would be like that dove in a cliff. The storm is raging around, but there is peace in the midst of that storm. That's the picture that we have of the peace of God. It's not always beautiful sunsets. He is a good Father, though. We can trust him with our lives. Though we may not understand what is happening or what the reason for it is, we can trust that he is a good, a sovereign, and a loving God, and he works despite ourselves. Listen to these words from Jesus, Matthew 7, talking about a God who helps us. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which one of you, if his son asks for him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Other words in 1 John 5. This is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. So let's keep asking in faith, in humility, trusting with confidence that he hears us. And again, these words in Hebrews chapter 4. So then, since we have this great high priest, this is Jesus, he's entered heaven in our place, let us hold firmly to what we believe. And Jesus, he understands our weakness. He has faced all of the temptations that we have, but he did not sin. And so let us come to him. Let us come boldly to the throne of our glorious God, and there we will receive his mercy. We will find grace to help us when we need it most. We are invited to talk with the one true God. He alone is our hope in life and death. And so I just want to encourage you that there's no crushing guilt here. Not, I haven't prayed enough, or, you know, I don't know what to do. There's no guilt that way. The Lord is with us. He hears us, and he wants to help us. And so may the gracious, caring love of our Heavenly Father motivate us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. And may we grow in our conversations with him. May we ask him. May we receive from him the peace and the grace and the mercy that we so need in our times where we're needy. So how can we grow in our prayers to God as we do these prayers that we receive from God? Here are a few things that I want to share with you. So there are several occasions where we can gather together. You can put these on your calendar. Like was mentioned, there are Bethel prayer meetings happening during this month of September. Typically, though, there is a prayer meeting the first Sunday of the month. I haven't been coming to these so regularly myself, but I want to commit to making this to be a priority, to pray with God's people. And so these are happening. Again, this is not a guilt thing. This is an invitation to come together to pray, because we need to pray to our Heavenly Father. Another one mentioned, Andrew mentioned September 29th, that there isn't going to be a prayer meeting here, but there is going to be a city prayer gathering. So this is with other churches. It's going to be held at Old Bethel. So if you need a bit of nostalgia, come to Old Bethel. The Church of the Good Shepherd is meeting there on Sundays. This will be at 5 p.m. on the last Sunday of this month. There will be a prayer meeting on the first Sunday of October. Next, I mention men meet here at 9:30 on Wednesday mornings. You'd be welcome to join us, men, if you're available during that time. It is a time where we focus primarily on praying together. You're welcome to join us. There are other ways that we pray. I know ladies' Bible study and coffee hour, there's prayer as part of that. Small groups that are happening, there will be a prayer component to that time. We also have an email list prayer chain. We have a faithful sister that sends those out. And so if you would like to connect to that email list, we don't really post that publicly on our website or anything, but if you would like to connect with that, please let me know. Another way to learn about prayer is to read prayers composed by people in the past. And there are lots of resources. I just want to share a few here. So the Valley of Vision, these are Puritan prayers and devotions, not simply prepared so that we could read a prayer, but it prompts us and encourages us in our walk with the Lord. The middle one there says, everyday prayers for a transformed life. This pastor, Scotty Smith, he's still alive, so it's not just dead people that we learn from. But he has these prayers that are like Psalms, but using the lens of the gospel to offer honest, real life perspectives on faith, and it will encourage your intimacy with God, and I've benefited from these. The last one there, praying the Bible, this gentleman, Don Whitney, has written this, praying the Bible. Do you sometimes feel like you're stuck for words to say, or you just say the same things over and over again? Again, God hears us when we pray, but we can use the Bible, we can use the scriptures to shape our prayers. So as we pray, we can be using the words of the Bible, the Psalms and other parts of the Bible to help us pray. So as we close, I would like us to think about how we are not only to hear a message about prayer, but let's put it into practice because God loves us. Somebody said this, Andrew Murray, writing in his book, With Christ in the School of Prayer, he said this, reading a book about prayer, listening to lectures and talking about it is very good, but it won't teach you to pray. You get nothing without exercise, without practice. So the best way to learn how to pray is pray. And I would just say this, talking about our men's prayer on Wednesday morning, you know, we've got some men that weren't used to praying, but being around that group on a Wednesday morning, they can pray now, you know, not to impress other people, but they can just pray and express their heart to God. And that's how we learn, is by doing it and doing that with other people. Just like the Nike brand says, just do it. So we're going to take a couple of minutes here to pray, just about a minute. And then I'm going to close in prayer using a prayer from this book, Everyday Prayers. And the worship team is going to lead us in another song together. So as we pray for a minute, we'll be quiet. Ask the Lord to teach you to pray, just like the disciples did with Jesus. Ask the Lord to show you how you can spend more time praying to him, when you could do that. Make a plan for that. Tell him about your worries. He wants to hear from you. Rest in who he is and what he has done for you. And I would say this morning, if you don't know him, that if you don't really consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus or somebody that follows God, if you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you wouldn't even think to spend time praying to a God, pray to receive him as your Lord and King. He will hear your prayer. He is mighty to save, and he longs to welcome you into his family. So let's just take a moment now together. You can pray to God. We'll just do this for about a minute. Heavenly Father, in these quiet moments, it's amazing you hear each prayer that has been offered to you. And Father, as we think about prayers from God, we have a lot to pray for. Many hurting people in our Bethel family, in our community, around the world. There are things to be prayed for, employment, schooling, education. But Lord, as we close, I want to offer this prayer of a desperation for peace. Dear Jesus, I've memorized this scripture, Philippians 4, and taught it, preached it, and prayed it for many struggling friends. And today, however, I'm desperate to lay hold of it for myself. I'm anxious, so I need grace to obey this command. I know you're not asking me to pretend and to pose for knowing you is the end to that way of life. And I know you're not asking me to be unfeeling, for you are gentle and humble of heart. Jesus, it was you who turned the chaos of an unformed world into the beauty of creation. Please do the same with all the chaos swirling around me and in me. Replace my angst and confusion with order and beauty. For the things that grieve me, bring your tear-wiping hand. For the things that offend me, keep me from a critical and selfish spirit. For the things that alarm me, grant me this perspective of heaven and gospel sanity. Please don't let me get bitter. For the things over which I have no control, give me a fresh vision of the occupied throne of heaven. For the things I do have control over, grant me wisdom and strength to act accordingly. Please help me steward my anger, my sadness, and my weariness to your glory. I don't want to waste this moment or these feelings. Jesus, I have no reason to doubt either your mercy or your might. You gave your life for us upon the cross. You have risen to make all things new. You are constantly advocating and praying for us. No one loves us more than you do. I've seen you do astonishing things before. Do astonishing things again. I'm weary and worn down. Set the peace of God as a defender in my heart and mind. Great King of glory and grace, guard and protect my heart from the lies of Satan and the whisperings of gossip. I pray with hunger and hope in your most trustworthy name. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.